Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, everyone. We've tackled a lot today. Dr. Fauci, COVID, China, all sorts of big stories. But this next one's a local story, and I mentioned it in the first hour. I was hoping we would get this guest, and we have. But let me first read you the headline from the Boston Herald story by Aaron Tiernan. Massachusetts parents demand end to mask mandate in schools, shut out of meeting. Protesting parents pounded on the doors of the state's education headquarters in Malden, blasting a mask mandate after they were turned away from a public meeting where they intended to demand action. They were turned away. Sam Hughes is here. She's a mother of four. She was interviewed in this article. She had a bullhorn in her hand during this. Sam, thank you so much for joining the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Sam, walk us through this. You guys were planning on, you know, voicing your opinions about the mask mandates, and they just did not want to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, we had a pretty good idea of how it was going to go, hence, you know, the signs and the bullhorns. We did intend to have a protest there yesterday, but some of our guests had, you know, pre-registered or inquired about speaking during the public hearing at the DESE meeting. Some of them did not receive any message back. Some of them received messages saying that the meeting was full, but our access was also just physically restricted from the building under the pretense of COVID restrictions. So we were basically told that 11 people would be allowed in the meeting, which at this point, this far into this, we don't believe is adequate, and we asked to see a list of the people that would be in there and if we could find out what they'd be speaking about to make sure that somebody was there to represent our interest, that we didn't feel that we had been heard and we were not being represented. They would not disclose who was going to be there or the topic of conversation for the speakers, and again, we just felt that we hadn't been adequately represented and that 11 members of the Massachusetts community cannot adequately represent all the parents of Massachusetts, and we just wanted to make sure that our voices had been heard. But as you said, we were restricted from a public meeting yesterday.
Now, Sam, I know there's going to be a lot of parents listening right now who immediately think, oh, where can I find this? Where can I, you know, tune in or try to help or join up? So do you guys have a website? How are you getting out the message? How did people know to meet up there?
It was shared on a multitude of like-minded Facebook groups, and then we also share things on We the People, hashtag We Too. Instead of Me Too, it's hashtag We Too, and we share all of our events there as well. So I believe that we will be going back for the next DESE meeting on June 22nd. We are going to file a violation of the public meeting laws, and we're also, I think, going to file a complaint against the Malden police who restricted our access to the building. The problem that we're having is that while we were at the meeting yesterday, Baker said that he's going to extend the public meeting restrictions due to the COVID pandemic.
Oh, you don't say. That's interesting,
yeah,
so that he would decide to do that.
It is interesting. It's very convenient. And so while everything else is being lifted and the state of emergency is being lifted, Governor Baker is extending pretty much only that restriction, which really limits our availability, our access to, you know, file petition for grievances against our government, which is our First Amendment right to go and file a petition when we don't believe that our voices are being heard by our government. And we are being limited by this restriction on the public meeting law. And I believe that that is done on purpose to limit the how much we can get done.
All right. Now, one thing I do want to drill down on, Sam, is you mentioned that you weren't sure your interests would be represented with the 11 people that were allowed into this meeting. Let's go over what those interests are and kind of the group's demands. I found this very interesting. You guys want no masks, no PCR testing, no social distancing, no advertising of vaccines to children, no mandatory shots to children, and no discussions about coronavirus shots or sharing of medical information with minors without parents' approval and presence at schools. These all seem like very rational, common sense requests. I'm surprised they had to bring in six Malden police officers to block you from sharing those requests.
Yeah, so I believe they are pretty reasonable. And the reason that we added some of those requests is that we're seeing things in places like Sutton yesterday morning. Some of our people who were at the DESE meeting stopped in Sutton on the way because they are doing a COVID vaccine clinic in their school where they are marching the children across the stage and giving them an award if they get their vaccines in front of the children, in front of their peers. So basically being like rewarded for doing this. And we don't believe that they should be using any of this to push vaccines on children without their parents' consent. I don't think that this is a place to be doing this in the schools. But I mean, we're not no masks. We're masks by choice. These children are not at risk, and we've shown over and over again that 75% of the teachers are under the age of 55 and not at risk for COVID. Most of them have had the opportunity to be vaccinated. So why are our children still masking?
Yeah, and Sam, I'm glad you brought up the mask, because in this Herald article, which is very good, it sets everything up pretty well, but I noticed that they call you anti-mask advocates, and I was thinking about it, and it's the framing of this that bothers me, because you're not anti-masks, you're pro fresh air, you're pro kids right. being able to smile and being able to laugh and being comfortable and not having something on their faces. So to frame this as you're anti-something, it kind of creates this idea that you guys are the Neanderthal monsters wreaking havoc on the schools.
Right. Well, the term anti-mask has been obviously used just to create this false image of us. I personally, I don't know how other people feel, but I personally would mask, if I was in a long-term care facility visiting, or if I was with somebody who was, medically compromised or elderly who wanted me to mask and felt more comfortable with that. We're not lacking compassion or empathy. We're just saying that in most circumstances, it's not necessary, and it's certainly not necessary with our children in school. And that's really a decision that I think should be made by the parents for the children. But we're also aware of the psychological effects on children when they're not able to see each other's facial expressions. It's dehumanizing. Those are the issues that we're concerned with primarily with children. But really, I mean, we're seeing these restrictions being lifted for adults, but not for the kids who aren't at risk. And our concern is that it's being used to leverage mandatory vaccines or pushing the vaccine for COVID for these children.
Yeah, and
which,
Sam,
again, we're not anti-vaccine. We're pro, informed consent. If you read and you study and you know what you're getting into and you want to give your child this experimental vaccine, that's okay, but you need to be able to make that informed consent decision for yourself.
And I want to just go back, because I hadn't heard that story, Sam. I'm speaking with Sam Hughes. She was at the... Sam, what do you guys call yourselves? Do you have a group name, or is it just, parents who want their kids to live normal lives?
You know what? It's funny, because people ask me that, and I don't really think I'm associated with one group in particular. Our goal right now is to kind of bring all these groups together, and I think there's so many fragmented groups around Massachusetts that I don't really want to associate with one in particular. We're trying to bring them all together under the same cause.
I think that's a great idea. Sam, the story you just told about Sutton, I had not heard that, about the kids getting applauded as they go across the stage and get the vaccine. And I find this amazing, because what it makes me think of it is when my older brother was in college, my mom would try to figure out what his grades were, because my parents were paying a good deal of money to pay for his college, and then they couldn't see his grades because, they didn't have consent from my brother to check on his grades. Of course, my brother would log in for them and say, yeah, you can see them. But the school would not allow them to look at his grades. And I thought that was bad. But to not allow parents to decide whether or not their children are going to be vaccinated, that is a whole nother level of,
right.
control.
Well, I think at this point we do have parental consent for medical procedures, but there are bills gaining traction at the State House right now that people are largely unaware of. They had stalled out before COVID, but they are gaining traction now under new names, and they are to retract the parents' right to consent. Basically, it would give, you know, the school nurses ability to be able to make medical decisions for your child on whatever they believe is best, and they'd be able to vaccinate your child and not even tell you that they had done it.
Yeah, and I just want to add this in, Sam, because they mentioned this in the Herald article. The first thing they say is Samantha Muse of Carver, a mother of four. And I just have to give props not only to the parents, but to specifically to what a lot of people are calling you guys when they post your videos online, the mama bears, because this past year, a lot of people have been afraid to speak out. And the people that I've seen, at least, that are the most vocal and the least afraid and the most passionate and really just the most fearless are a lot of these moms who have just had enough. Yeah. And I just want to commend you for that. And I want to ask you how your kids are doing with all of this craziness.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think my kids have done well. My younger children are very involved and very passionate about, you know, they've gotten a really good education this year. They are enrolled in public school, but we did bring our youngest 7-year-old with us yesterday. And I really think that they are getting a good education about, you know, the democratic process and how, again, we redress our government for our grievances and things like that, that they're not really necessarily being taught in school how to adequately put this to the test. You know, it's something that we had to learn. These mama bears are all educating themselves right now about how our government works because we're not adequately being educated on this. So we're making sure that our kids know this and that this is something that they can use going forward. We're hoping to pass down America as we know it to our children. I would say my older children, my teenagers, high school students have, I believe, suffered the most. They're aware of what we're doing, and I think that they, in the beginning, we were nervous like everyone else, and I think they suffered from the lack of social interaction. And they also they're very unafraid of the COVID virus, but they are afraid of the peer pressure and yeah. They don't want to be looked at. They obviously mask in public, you know, and they want to go along with what everyone else is doing. They don't want to be looked at. So I think that their peer pressure is the hardest thing for them.
Yeah, no, I think that's very well said. It's become something of a societal thing where you don't want to do anything that, you know, breaks the virtue signaling. And I think it's really hard for kids. They're under so much pressure. But it's people like you, Sam, who are, you know, paving the way for the kids so that they can get back to going back to normal, which is what you said yeah. in this article. Sam, thank you very, very much. We hope to have you on again
thank
soon.
Thank you so much.
And great work.
All right.
Hotels,
have
vets,
a great day. Thank you so much.
You too, Sam. Thank you. Hotels, vets, and dentists all have purchased multiple units of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which is why Eden Pure has done it again. Right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier 3-pack. I'm going to hold it up for the camera so you guys can see how small and compact this is. You'll get 3 units for under $200, and you'll save $200. That means you can have one for your basement, one for your car, maybe give one to a friend. The possibilities are endless. And if you're wondering, what does this do? Well, it does a couple of things. One, it purifies the air. Two, it really helps eliminate any odors in the air. But three, and this is kind of the extra bonus, it really helps with allergies. Right, Jared?
Yes, anybody who's going through seasonal allergies like now, which seems to be everybody, even people who haven't had allergies before, Grace, the mailroom manager.
It's finally hit me, Jared. You yep. were right. I'm feeling it now.
It's the best allergy aid that I have ever had. It actually, like you said, it purifies the air. It ionizes the air and creates super oxygen. Gets rid of the odors. It gets rid of pollen, pollutants, anything nasty in the air so that you're breathing clean air. And take advantage of the 3-pack because I have them in the house. I have them in the car, and it's fantastic.
You can go to some places and see these, and you'll see these monstrosities, these big, big, bulky pieces of equipment that cost over $600. Not with a Thunderstorm. It's small, but it's powerful, and it's very, very reasonably priced. Go to EdenPure.com, put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. EdenPure.com, code word GRACE3. I loved hearing from a mama bear. I've said this before, Jared, but you can push people. You can push people and they'll take it and they'll take it and they'll take it. But when you start messing with people's kids, that's when you're going to see fireworks. We'll be back, and we got producer's picks at 2:30. If you want to check out this article from the Boston Herald, I will tweet it out from my account, and make sure you check out the photos as well. They are really, it's crazy to see all these moms and then police officers blocking the doors. We'll be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. It's The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Liz, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi. Listening to the story about the moms at the DESC meeting, and, you know, I know a whole bunch of great mama bears, and we're all talking, and we're all pushing back where we can, but something we've been wondering is, where are the dads? Where are the grandmothers and the grandfathers? They're in this fight, too, and the more of us that fight together, the better. And something we've felt is we've felt kind of, like, marginalized, because we feel like we just get pushed down. We need some strong masculine men to stand up next to us and fight for their kids.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, Liz. And I'm actually glad you mentioned that, because it kind of ties into what we were talking about in the first hour, where I always complain about how people don't realize the importance of things until it directly affects them. Like I was telling Howie this earlier. I said, it drives me crazy. It's like, if you live in a city that doesn't have a lot of illegal aliens, you don't understand what someone in a city in Texas might feel like, because it's not your problem. But you should be able to see eventually how it becomes your problem. If the youth are going to be so hurt by this, we should all care. It shouldn't just be the moms. I understand why they care the most, because like I said, there's nothing fiercer than a mama bear. I know, I have one, and she is, Mama Jean is fierce when you mess with one of her children. But we should all care. That's why I'm talking about it now. You're absolutely right. Grandparents, you know, friends, neighbors, teachers, everyone should be saying, this is the youth. We need to protect them. We need to help them and not hinder them with these crazy, panicked restrictions.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, what I feel is part of this is just the whole attack that the left has had on masculinity as a whole. So they kind of feel like they have to sit back. It's discouraging.
Yeah, I think that's definitely in play here. It's also the fact that people, you know, if they feel as though if someone takes a photo of them and, you know, posts it online, maybe their job will find out that they were at a anti-mask rally or they had a bullhorn in their hand, and then they'll lose their job. And I get it. I get why people are fearful. I get why people would rather just shut up than stand up. I totally understand that mindset. But I agree with you that it's important that everyone band together, because this is a very vulnerable section of our population. These kids aren't going to be able to speak up for themselves. And if we don't stand up, they could be wearing these masks forever. Thank you for the call, Liz. I very much appreciate it. Tim, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Grace. A quick question. Can you say again where that woman was from and how we can find her on social media? And the second thing was, I am so glad you had that interview. That last caller was right. As a dad, we do need to be more involved. But let's face it, it's usually the moms that are more involved with the school aspect. It's just the way it is. Even working moms tend to be more involved than we do. But we absolutely need to get engaged, need to be informed. But, Grace, what that woman was doing is a perfect example of what I've said from the get-go with the pandemic. Our government, federal, state, and especially local, will never, ever, ever let us go back to the way it was. They will use the pandemic to keep us at arm's length so that they can enact changes that they want that are good for them. Look at town halls. Town halls are never going to go back to no mask and not going in to see someone in the town hall by appointment. And by the way, on Fridays, they're open from 8 to 1. So they're going to use this to their advantage to keep us, the public, the people who pay them, the people that they represent, they will do everything in their power to keep us from interacting with them because, you know what? They don't want to hear it.
Tim, you're absolutely right. That's very, very well said. I don't think Sam is involved in any organization specifically, but I know that you can check out United Cape Patriots on Facebook to find out more about these events. All right, we will be back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone. It is time for, yeah, I'm going to say it, Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
I don't even have to guess what Jared's first producer's picks is going to be, because it's obviously the fact that Ariana Grande has officially released photos from her wedding.
Oh, of course it is. I'm very happy for her and whoever. Maybe.
You know what, Jared? Glamorous shots. She had the beautiful veil, beautiful dress, looking stunning.
Did her bodyguard carry her down the aisle, or did she actually walk herself?
That's a rumor. That has been debunked, good sir.
That has been debunked?
Yes. All right, Jared, take it away.
I will take that to my fact checkers and see what happens. Well, okay, so we're going to start off with a little Joe Biden, as we seem to do every day. Joe Biden has had enough-ish. All right, so Joe Biden today, about maybe an hour and a half ago, asked U.S. intelligence officials to redouble, quote-unquote, their efforts to investigate the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, including any possibility that the trail might lead to a Chinese lab, and get back to him within 90 days.
You are so, so brave, Joe. You are so, so brave.
Well, it's funny because if you remember the other day, Jen Psaki.
Suck it to me, baby.
Yes. Jen Psaki the other day was asked about Joe Biden investigating the origins, and she had this to say.
I think you're misunderstanding how this process actually works. An international investigation led by the World Health Organization is something that we've actually been pressing for several months. In coordination with a range of partners around the world, we need that data, we need that information from the Chinese government. What we can't do, and what I would caution anyone doing, is leaping ahead of an actual international process. We don't have enough data and information to jump to a conclusion at this point in time.
Mr. President, why are you jumping ahead before
Jen
you have
Psaki
the data?
Jen Psaki specifically cautioned you not to do that.
Why do you hate your press secretary?
Hey, Jared, not to try to change up what you have for producer's picks, but because we're on the subject of Joe Biden, do you think we could use up a little bit of this Biden sound?
No, absolutely.
Because when I see Biden, sharks, wolves, and pop, I think we should probably get through this. Let's play. He was doing an interview with a lot of different YouTubers, which I said this yesterday, but I thought Obama was bad with the BuzzFeed videos. But Biden, this has got to be worse.
This was actually Biden and Fauci together with the Brave Wilderness Channel.
Double the trouble. And I just want to say, keep in mind as they talk about this nonsense, there's big issues happening. I know that I sound like a right-wing radio crazy person, but by all accounts, there are issues in the world right now. We are still coming out of a pandemic. The economy is looking very shaky, especially with inflation. Gas prices are high. And yet, somehow, we're at a point where 78-year-old Joe Biden is talking about sharks. Cut 14.
What do you do when you're telling them how to respond to when you see a snake? You're not saying just go get a brick and try to kill it. You're not telling people you're telling people how to stay away from it till you know what it is. You're telling people how to respond to everything from, you know, that shark you talk about in the ocean, the vast majority of which are not going to attack anybody. They're not doing anything.
Wow.
The sharks are sending their best.
The sharks are like, well said, sir. Couldn't have said it better ourselves. Honestly, I agree with what he's saying. I think everybody knows that. If you don't get in a shark's face or in their if you don't get all up in their grill, they're probably not going to eat you. But why are we going over this? Does he really have nothing on the schedule that this needs to be talked about? Did someone ask for a shark update?
And the worst part is he's still stumbling. This was pre-taped. They had a chance to edit this.
And then that wasn't the only animal reference. Let's do cut 15.
And by the way, I'm a big dog person. Every single species of dog, every single breed has come from the gray wolf. Every single one.
Tell you what, Mr. President, you let me know when you're ready to take a grand adventure. If you want to meet a wolf in person, I can get you situated with that. Just send Air Force One out. Mark and I will be ready for any adventure you guys want to go on.
Well, sound by good? The way, I have spent time with wolves on two occasions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
A real wolf and other wolves, you know. Anyway, thank you, guys.
I just want to say that just because Major might bite like a wolf doesn't mean Joe Biden should call him a wolf. He's a German Shepherd, and he's a good boy. He's a very good boy. Oh, it's so, so pathetic.
There were a lot of wolves in the Scranton coal mines growing up. Come on.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And then he, I just want to go down to cut 17, Jared.
Oh, yes. So this, Joe Biden is talking about his grandkids, which he said he has six, but according to Wikipedia, he has seven. I don't know if that includes baby Burisma or not. But anyway, so he's talking to the Brave Wilderness Channel about his grandchildren, and it's as folksy as you would expect Joe to be.
Pop, they're going to kill all the wolves. They're killing the wolves, Pop. Why's that happening, Pop?
So why do they keep saying Pop?
Apparently his grandchildren call him Pop.
At the end of every sentence.
The ones that he recognizes. Yes.
At the end of every sentence, Pop. Oh my gosh. He's really, I mean.
Can I have your orange Gatorade, Pop? No, that's Pop's orange Gatorade and cookies.
I every day, I'm just amazed.
Juice box, or I'll take you out behind the gym and lift triangular iron weights with you.
I just, you know, imagine if one of these guys from the Brave Wilderness Channel threw a real question at him. How funny would that be? They were like, so about Nord Stream 2, question. You'd be so thrown off. Oh, wait a second. Hold on here. I thought we were here to talk about sharks and wolves.
I was waiting for one of them to ask about bats. What do you know about bats, Mr. President?
All right, Jared, you can continue on.
Oh, that was well worth it. All right, so, you know, Donald Trump is the essential boogeyman for everybody on the left, all the Democrats, the media, but, you know, I repeat myself. And he has been responsible for everything from, I think, slavery and the Great Chicago Fire to climate change, you name it. But there's something else that he's surprisingly being blamed for.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
Yes, they are, Mr. President. So I don't know if you remember the Spygate controversy with the New England Patriots circa 2007. That might ring a bell.
Yeah, I get confused. There were so many different gates with the Patriots. Did that have to do with the air and the balls?
It did have to do with the air and the footballs, yes. Well, I don't know if you remember the late Arlen Specter, the senator from Pennsylvania, was a huge Eagles fan who tried to basically bring this before Congress, and I don't know what exactly his deal was, but he pretty much wanted Congress to investigate the New England Patriots and strip them of their Super Bowls.
He was jealous. We understand.
Yes.
We all get it.
He was an Eagles fan.
Yeah. It must be tough.
I don't know when he died. I don't know if he lived to see them win the Super Bowl. But anyway, his son, who was the ghostwriter of the late senator's book, says that somebody intervened to stop the probe of the Patriots Spygate scandal. And that person was none other than Donald John Trump.
Oh, another reason to love DJT, as if I needed one more.
Yes, this is from an article on ESPN. Follow-up conversations with the people closest to Arlen Specter, his oldest son, Shannon Specter, were to drop the Spygate inquiry. They were asked by none other than Donald J. Trump, because Trump had told Specter he was acting on behalf of Robert Kraft. Kraft and Trump, both responding to ESPN through spokespeople, denied involvement in the effort to influence Spencer's investigation.
Team Trump slash Tom Brady.
Yes.
All day, every day.
So Donald Trump also tried to end Spygate. Just another shame.
Good. Well, you know, there now that there's a criminal probe in New York for the Trump Organization, maybe they can work this in somehow.
Hey, listen, you know what? The 78th time is the charm. I really think they're going to get him this time.
Oh, I agree.
That Southern District of New York, they're onto something. All right, so the second gentleman, we don't really talk about him too much, Douglas or Doug or Dougie. Doug and his enormous influence are hitting the campaign trail, campaigning alongside Melanie Stansberry ahead of the upcoming special election in New Mexico.
All right, what's he going to be doing?
I don't know. I just wanted to play the Doug song.
Oh, okay.
No, honestly,
I totally understand.
He'll be heading to campaign with the Democrat congressional candidate ahead of the special election. I assume he's going to use his standing as the second gentleman to kind of, hey, I'm the second gentleman. I endorse this candidate.
Yeah,
go
because
vote.
That's going to have a huge impact, I'm sure.
All right, well, we go from a good song to a cringeworthy song. Senator John Hickenlooper of Colorado took to Twitter, and he has a banjo, and he's talking about the For the People Act, which is the Democrats' sweeping voter fraud bill.
And, oh, yes, yes, yes.
And it's 53 seconds. I'm not going to play all of it, but here's a little taste of what he was, Senator John Hickenlooper, he was kind of trying to do a Schoolhouse Rock type thing.
Well, I'm just a bill, yeah, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Oh, yeah, there's a bill here in the Senate, and it's called the People Act. Gives power to the voter, and not those corporate hacks.
I don't like it.
No, why would you like it?
I'm not trying to be mean because I know I have a terrible voice and I know you guys put up with it. And I know Howie also has a questionable singing voice as well, but that was not good. He wasn't, you know what us singers say, Jared? He wasn't on pitch.
He wasn't on a lot of things.
And also they have...
Except maybe the legal weed.
They have a song. They have that song already, right? That's...
Yeah, I'm a bill on Capitol Hill.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That one's kind of a jam. Can we find that?
I'll look for it during the break, yeah.
Yeah, because that one's, well-produced, and it's got a little beat to it. I don't think anyone, like most reboots, Jared, I don't think anyone asked for this.
Yes, nobody asked for this. So, and also, right after Bob Dylan's birthday, he tries to outdo Bob Dylan in the...
Well, the times, they are changing.
All right, so yesterday was the 1 year, I don't want to say anniversary, but it marked 1 year since George Floyd was legally murdered in Minneapolis, and the gunfire broke out in George Floyd Square.
Yes.
And we actually have some audio. This is Philip Crowther. From the Associated Press. He was doing a report as the gunfire broke out, and this is what it sounded like.
This bill of comprehensive police reform just got to be careful here with some gunshots. Excuse us. It sounds like gunshots. I'll let you know what this is. These seem to be gunshots.
Alicia, get down!
Where is that?
We're just going to go.
All I can think about is how many situations there have been like this when Ali Velci was standing in front of the building that was burning down and he was like, it's mostly peaceful here. This guy's talking about defunding the police and police reform, however you want to phrase it. And then a round of shots go off.
It was a mostly peaceful drive-by shooting.
I'm sure that guy was hoping to himself, I hope there are some police around to get this under control.
And you actually heard the police yelling, get down. They were chasing after him. But props to Philip Crowther. I mean, he was cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, no, that's
or whatever the British call cucumbers.
That's a scary situation.
He was cool
as
that during his report. So
they probably call them pickles because they call
they call it like cumbies or pickies or something like that. Some weird slang.
Yeah. You're probably right. Speaking of the Black Lives Matter protest, Jared, can we play cut 19? This was in Kansas City, just to give you guys an idea of the peacefulness of some of these protests, and also just to really repeat what Libby Emmons said, which is, this seems like a summer preview. A lot of this violence crept up last summer, the summer of love, some people called it. So let's take a listen to cut 19.
We're tired of getting shot and killed because we done got pulled up with some air fresheners. I got a bunch of air fresheners. I'm waiting for one of them before we go. Because, baby, where I'm from, we don't give two about the police. Chicago don't get, let them kill one of ours. Guess what we doing? We kill one of theirs in Chicago, baby. We gonna knock on your door. We gonna blow your mother head off.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Blow your head off.
Chicago.
The
Chicago,
peacefulness of these protests never fails to amaze me. All right, when we get back, guys, we'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr. So don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curl.
The town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It is now time for the car crossover brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack. Everyone's been waiting for this, and it's good until Sunday. Get your Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack at EdenPure.com and put in code GRACE3. I'm joined now by the one and only Howie Carr. Howie, what is on your mind today?
I'm glad you have your own copy of Every Family Has One. One of the classics of the Ted Kennedy genre. It was put out by a Republican hit group back in the early 1980s, and it's a comic book about Ted Kennedy's squalid career. I mean, there's nothing about O'Barr there because it precedes that. But
I love
there's
the
a lot of good stuff. It's good stuff.
All right, Howie, what do you have planned for the show today?
I think we're going to just come out of the box. You're going up to Perfect Smiles for an appointment. You're gonna love it there. By the way. But so you won't be there for Grace's News. So we'll do a lot of heavy calls for a change in the 3 o'clock hour. I'm going to let people talk about how they see prices going up because everybody's seeing prices going up. And I think it's
on everything. I've had people talk to me about, you know what someone said to me the other day? The price of ice. Like, you know, you get ice for a barbecue
right.
or something.
Yeah.
Very expensive right now.
I did not know that.
Red meat.
But see, I've been waiting for the okay from Joe Biden to have my barbecue.
Oh, that's yeah. Did I just keep myself away?
That's right. You're defying the wishes of Dementia Joe?
I've even had a... Last weekend, I even had two hot dogs before Joe Biden told me I could. Howie, what are your thoughts on the evolution of Dr. Fauci? It seems like every single day... A new story comes out, and he starts changing his mind about the origins.
I'm reminded, as I think about it, of a Jay Giles song. You can't see love coming, but you can sure see it go.
Yeah, it all seems very... The timing is everything.
Or what Hemingway or Fitzgerald said, first they went bankrupt. First gradually, then suddenly.
Guys, don't forget 110 Grill on Friday from 12 to 6. Make your reservations in Plymouth. I'm out.